This podcast contains adult language and adult subject matter and is rated M for mature. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, you know, I turned on the Infinitely Running podcast the other day in the car.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many podcasts that are on there. Mostly play music, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was thinking today that Moses, he started out as a basket case, like most of us.
Yeah.
And when I was in the seminary, I had a special file for all my bills. It was labeled Do Unto Others.
But seriously, as
the music is playing in the background, let's just crank it up and get this show on the road. Well, greetings, salutations, Mubark Fluff, and hello to all the creatures in the Potterverse. I am Barely Normal, and you are listening to BFFT, or Barely Forecasting, featuring Tabin. But this week, with no Tabin, as he is in Denver. He's in Denver at Denver. Mm-hmm. So with me is Rain.
Hello, everyone.
Rain and I will attempt to entertain you as best we can. So, Rain, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
All right.
I'm here.
That's good. Well, we're here. Tabin's, I think tonight, it's a Thursday, I think it's tomorrow night, he's got his Weird Al on second stage. They gave him second stage at Denver.
Big pup,
yeah.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, it's been a summer already. It's been over 100 for the past 3 days. Ugh.
I know.
Yeah. And of course, you and I, along with Santa, for listeners, went on a long multi-day motorcycle ride up to the northern part of Washington, which was not hot or dry.
Yeah.
It was not hot or dry. No, it was very wet. We had a great time all in all. But of course, now I got home and I purchased a bunch of things to make riding in the rain a whole lot easier.
Nice.
Not you, Rain, but the rain, the precipitation.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've never ridden in rain.
No.
I probably won't ever. So
Probably not.
So did you enjoy the ride?
I loved it. It was great. It was the first time I'd seen Mount Rainier. First time I'd been up to Port Gamble. And first time I've gone camping in probably like 7 years.
Oh, wow.
So that was fun. Yeah, it was great. And first time I got to take a really nice, long ride on my new Spider.
Nice. Very nice. Okay, well, this will probably wind up being a shorter than normal episode for our listeners because, well, we don't have to deal with the Tabin saying random things at random times. We love you, Tabin.
Yes, we
really do.
Do.
Yes, but so... Anyway, I don't have anything for the past today. It's been a couple of weeks since we recorded, so I'm not sure what's going on in the past.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened in the past a couple of weeks ago.
It's like, as one of the co-hosts on one of my other podcasts says, I've slept since then, so I don't remember what happened.
And slept and had some of the devil's lettuce, and yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to call it the devil's candy, because I never actually eat the lettuce.
Yeah, true. I eat the candy as well. He makes good candy.
The devil certainly does make good candy, and that makes things go so much easier and
I
so
sleep
much nicer.
So much better, yes.
Yes. Sometimes it's hard to get, especially if you take too much. Last night I thought I was taking 40 and I actually took 60 and I was like, ooh.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So I was, it gets out of it.
Gets me a little bit like, it makes me feel a little weird enough that when I try to go to sleep, if I take too much. I try to go to sleep. My eyes keep popping open. I keep scaring myself back awake because I feel something weird. I've got to moderate my dose to nice 25 milligrams is usually good for me.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, let's talk about some obscure words. I picked the letter O today on my dictionary of obscure words.
Nice.
And the first word is oakum. Oakum.
That's what beavers say when they see an oak tree. Oakum.
Oakum. Yeah.
Oakum.
Actually, it's old ropes that are untwisted and they used for caulking of seams of ships in the olden days.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen that. They did that on the Mythbusters catch the boats on fire thing. They built a period vessel, period Greek vessel. And yeah, they used oakum to seal the sides of it so that it would be historically accurate.
And did it?
They still didn't manage to light it on fire with the with the solar beam death ray thing.
Archimedes, is that what they were trying to do? Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought maybe they were trying to hold
a bunch. No, it's kind of hard to hold a bunch of mirrors steady on one little spot, you know, for long enough to catch fire.
Yes, but you could certainly blind the people on the ship with that mirror.
Of course. Definitely. I mean, it was pretty dazzling. The few times that their camera caught it in the right spot, it was like, oh my gosh, like a spotlight.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe that's what Archimedes' death ray was all about, shooting the people, not the ships.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
He didn't leave notes, so.
I mean, we use something like that in the military now called a dazzler, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just basically a light-based weapon that causes pilots to go a little bit blind.
Yeah, yeah. Police use it a lot, too, with the, they call them a disruptor beam, which is not like the Romulans have. But,
no, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it'd be so much nicer, but anyway. So the next word is obtenebrate. Obtenebrate. These sounds like words from like a spelling bee.
Or something Tabin would make up.
Yes. No. Obtenebrate. Obtenebrate means to cast a shadow over.
Ah.
So if you cast a shadow over something, you are obtenebrating then.
So a penumbra is an obtenebrate.
No, a penumbra is the shadow that is cast by a solar eclipse.
Oh, well.
But I guess then the penumbra would obtenebrate the shadow. I don't know. Hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And then, of course, here's the actual word. I was going to use this in the Telegram chat today instead of hashtag. I was going to say octothorpe, which is the actual name for the hashtag, the tic-tac-toe board or the pound sign.
Yeah. I always thought it was just pound sign or hashtag.
Yep. Oh, it's got a name. Octothorpe, which sounds like a... Sounds like an evil villain from Spider-Man. Yeah, because there's...
There are eight little arms, yeah.
There are eight little arms, yeah. So that's why it's an octothorpe.
It's a square with eight little arms.
Yep. And then the final word is... I can't say it. It's O-E-N-O-L-O-G-Y. So it's ology. I think it's onology. And study
onology?
Of wines.
Onology, maybe?
Onology?
Onology?
Onology? Owenology, probably. Owen, I think that's Owenology.
Yeah.
Not the study of Owens, but the study of wines.
I am an owenologist.
Owenologist?
Yes, I love wines.
Well, do you study them or do you just drink them?
I drink them.
Okay.
But, you know.
Yeah. You know what
I read the bottle once in a while.
Okay. Do you know what a good Jewish wine is?
No.
You never take me to Miami.
Oh, God. Oh no.
Please. Yes, 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 yes. So that brings us up to our media section for the day. And thank you, Tabin.
Yes.
The spirit of Tabin has just been with us. What have you been watching? Anything?
I have not been watching much. I did watch the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie right before we went on the trip.
Oh, did you? Is it any good?
Yes. It's so sad, though. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, is it?
It's really a tearjerker in certain spots. Rocket had a very rough childhood. Let's just put it that way.
Well, and you do have a certain spot in your heart for Rocket.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And elsewhere as well.
Okay. Okay. Wait a minute. You have what?
I have another. Well, it's not soft. It's a hard spot, but.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha. It's a spot. I see.
A spot. Mm-hmm. There's another spot that he occupies.
That he occupies. Okay. Get off of my lap. Anyway.
Right.
I would give it
4 stars out of 5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Lots of fun, but also a lot of really sad, depressing moments.
So is it just Rocket's backstory, the whole movie?
It's quite a bit of it is Rocket's backstory, but it's also the story of what's going on now that Gamora's back and, what happened after the events of the blip and all of that stuff. And so, yeah, there's quite a bit of sadness. I mean, not even just Rocket's story, but Peter and Gamora's story is pretty tragic. I would say the brightest spot in the entire movie, though, has got to be Karen Gillian's character, Nebula. She is hilarious in this. I mean, she's just gotten more and more funny as the character has evolved. Now that she's no longer under Thanos, she's pretty hilarious.
Oh, well, maybe I will watch it when I go over to my friend's house for movie night this weekend.
Yeah, no, I would recommend it. It was a good movie. I liked it. There were some spots where I was like, okay, I don't remember this, but you know, then again, I didn't watch the Christmas special, which I've heard kind of ties into it.
I watched the Christmas special, but I thought it was kind of corny.
Yeah, but that's what I've heard. So that's why I didn't watch it. And then I was told, oh, you should probably watch it because you'll get a little bit more backstory that goes into the movie. And I'm like, maybe I'll watch it later.
Maybe
figure out where I'm lost. I'm not a big Christmas movie guy.
Oh, all right. Well, I didn't realize that it was a Christmas movie when I turned it on. And then because it started out as a cartoon. And I thought, oh, this is a cartoon, something going on for Guardians of the Galaxy. And then it went into live action. I was like, wait a minute.
Oh.
It's like, because it was funny because I turned it on. They were doing the cartoon part. I went into the kitchen to get something to eat. And I came back and it was live action. And I thought, did I miss something? Did it actually change channels on me by accident? What? I mean, what was going on?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like. Did I sit on the remote when I got up or, you know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Did it just choose the next movie in the list? Anyway.
Right.
But, so that's all you've been watching?
That's pretty much it. Still always the YouTubes. A lot of Wolf in VR. He's a VR game streamer who like shows off all the new games and stuff. And
okay.
So I've watched quite a few of his stuff. The new I Expect You to Die Volume 3 just came out, and so I've watched his first two playthroughs of the first two big missions on that. So it's pretty good. The game is a lot more funny than the first I Want You to Die.
Okay. All right. So have you ever seen the YouTubes of Z Frank, True Facts About Animals?
Oh, yes. Stuff. Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a new couple ones out there, and he's got a new character called Creepy Dave, and Creepy Dave is
Dave's not here, man.
Those are pretty funny. That's a different Dave, but yeah, it's he's got this video of a vulture that's like mentally challenged. I mean, vultures aren't that smart to begin with, but this vulture is just all over the place. And his voice is like, hey, I'm Creepy Dave. Hello, I'm Creepy Dave. Oh, look at that. What are you doing over there? Oh, look at me. I'm falling down. Oh, no, I'm Creepy Dave. Creepy Dave. It's like,
nice.
So they've got t-shirts like that and Creepy Dave and so on. So,
Creepy Dave.
I started the new season of Solar Opposites.
And, oh, cool.
So the funny part about that is, of course, the main character of Solar Opposites was voiced by the same gentleman that voiced Rick from Rick and Morty.
Right.
And he's been in trouble lately.
Yeah, he's been removed from his projects.
He has, but I did see something recently that he was exonerated with all the things that they said he did wrong.
Oh, wow.
So he might be back for the next season of Rick and Morty?
Yeah.
Hard to say. But they did cut him out of Solar Opposites.
Speaking of that, apparently Bradley Cooper has been in more trouble again, too. So, I mean, talking about Rocket and...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so apparently he's gotten into more trouble, too. So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, thank goodness the last movie is done.
Yeah. See, I always thought Rocket was voiced by Bruce Willis.
No.
Because he sounds a lot like Bruce Willis.
Does. I think it's a really good impersonation of Bruce Willis, in my opinion. Bradley Cooper's done a pretty good job of that.
Well, maybe if Bradley Cooper can't do it anymore, they can get Bruce Willis to voice him.
Well, that's going to be kind of hard for somebody who's got such a problem with recall at the moment.
Oh, does he have problems with recall at the moment?
Yeah, that's why he's retired. He's got it's something like Alzheimer's.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. So, it's like, well, okay.
Yeah, poor Bruce is not capable of acting anymore.
Mm. So, all right. Yeah. Well, I'll have to go back and watch some old movies and shows.
Yeah.
I've been trying to find Moonlighting on the streaming networks, and it's hard to find.
Some of those movies are really hard to find. Some of the movies and series that were, you know, that we were like, oh, this plays ad nauseum all the time on cable back when we were young.
Right. Yeah.
You can't even find them anymore.
Nope. I did catch up. Speaking of Rick and Morty, I did catch up on the last season of Rick and Morty.
Nice.
Still with, is it Justin Roiland? Is that his name? The one that's in trouble? Or was it the other one, Harmon?
No, I think it was Justin.
He was still voicing that series. So we'll see if he's back for season 7, which comes out in, I think they said October, but we'll see. Anyway.
Well, with the writer's strike, it could be much later than that.
It could be much, much later.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody about the writer's strike the other day because we were talking about Game of Thrones, which just ties into one of my other podcasts. But the thing about that is, they film a lot of stuff for Game of Thrones in Britain and Ireland and Scotland.
Right.
And they're not part of the writer's strike.
No.
Or the actor's strike.
Yeah. The SAG-AFTRA and the Writers Guild are only US. Mm-hmm. But apparently some British actors kind of straddle both lines. And so it's been difficult for some of those actors who do both countries.
Yeah. I think if they just stay in their own country, they're fine.
Yeah.
If the strike goes on for too long, all those actors and writers and stuff, everybody's just going to move to over there and do stuff over there.
Yeah.
Because why not? I mean,
well, and it's not even only affecting the writers and the actors and, you know, film crews and stuff like that, but also influencers. So social media influencers are not allowed to, you know, to promote movies that are on the strike board
because
yes, if they do, they will be barred for life from joining SAG-AFTRA or the Writers Guild.
That seems
I think it's a little harsh considering that most influencers aren't particularly rich people and they've had to turn down some very lucrative contracts to promote movies or projects, and it's hurting a lot of people. I think they need to kind of get off their butts and get this fixed, you know, come to the table and make some, you know, some consolations.
Right. Well, this is like what, the fourth or fifth time in the history of Hollywood that they've had a big writers and actors strike.
Yeah.
So I remember the one that was really bad was in the 70s.
I remember I was little, but I remember hearing about it, and I heard it was quite long.
It was almost a year long.
Yeah.
And the actors didn't join the strike. It was just the writers. So there's a number of episodes that were quote unquote written by the actors, and oh God, they're so bad. Oh, they're so bad. There's a reason that actors are not writers.
Generally, that is true.
Yeah.
Writers have a certain set of skills, you will.
Yes. Usually a command of the English language for the most part.
Yeah, and actors, some of them are good writers, but not for the most part, all
not
of them.
Not for the most part, no. And a lot of actors make the transition to directors, which makes sense, but...
Well, yeah, because that's in the same wheelhouse. Writing is a completely different... And it's like screenwriters and novel writers, completely different set of skills.
Yeah.
People think, oh, it's, you know,
you're a writer.
I wrote a book. Yeah. I can write the screenplay. And typically authors who write their own screenplays are very disappointed by the time the editors get done with it because, it doesn't turn out like they envision it's going to turn out.
Well, because most novelists think that they should write the screenplay as long as their book. So could you imagine if they made War and Peace as long as the book? That would be such a boring movie. Okay.
Yeah.
I've never read War and Peace, but I just know that it's a very big book.
It's a big, big book.
Yep. And the last thing that I caught up on is the Star Trek Strange New Worlds. And I have to say, this latest season of Strange New Worlds is amazing.
It's good. I'm up to episode 7 and I was blown away by the crossover. It was Just
the crossover
so
was
good.
Great. The crossover yes. between Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks.
Lower Decks, yes.
Yep. And that was really good. And then the one that I just, well, I watched two last night. I watched Subspace Rhapsody, which is their musical. They did a musical.
Yes, that's my next on the list. I really want to see it. I hadn't got a chance to.
And when I turned it on and then they started singing, I was like, what?
What the hell's going on?
I was having the same reaction as the actors right. were having.
Did I hit SAP on accident?
Right. And it's like, wait a minute. And then... They actually released a soundtrack album, which is available on Spotify, Apple, iTunes.
Nice.
All the songs are available for you to listen to over and over again.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I had to do some research on it afterwards because I was like, why would you do this? Why would you take a sci-fi show and make it a musical?
Yeah, but you know what? The series that have done that, like Buffy, when they did the musical Buffy the Vampire mm-hmm. Slayer episode, yep. it was fantastic. One of the best episodes, hand down. When they did the same thing for Scrubs, the mm-hmm. musical episode of Scrubs, again, one of my favorite and a lot of people's favorite episodes. I mean, it was touching. It was uplifting because of the music.
Right.
It's just yeah. Right. I mean, and yeah, so it's a really good formula if you've got people who are talented enough to sing.
Right.
And it does break some of the tension of a more serious show.
It does. And so the research I did, I found out that the writers, they're the same writing bunch that write yeah. all of the Star Trek series, which is good because it kind of ties them all together and they know what's yeah. going on in the other series. Well, apparently, when they came up with the concept for the show Picard, mm-hmm. all the writers wanted to do a musical with Picard.
Oh, yeah, because Patrick Stewart actually does have a fairly nice singing voice.
Yes. And they couldn't get the score writers to agree to do it because they said, aww. No, it's Star Trek. We're not going to do this. And so it just kind of fell off the table. And then this came up. And they said again, hey, let's try and do a musical. And the score writers were like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. SNW is a, and because it's a little bit more tongue in cheek than most of the Star Trek,
right.
I think it's a good fit for them.
Right. Well, and the article said also that Zach Quinto,
mm-hmm.
or no.
Oh, no, no, not, no. No.
Ethan.
Yeah. Ethan.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah, I forgot it.
Anyway, they didn't know he could sing. He had never said that he could sing. So they said, well, he's going to have like three solos and songs. So right. let's send him to a voice coach. And he went there and he belted it out. And 5 minutes later, the voice coach called the director and said, why did you send him to me? This guy is amazing. And well, nobody
if
knew.
If you listen to his voice, I mean, in order to do the Spock impersonation, right. you have to have a fairly good control of your voice.
Yes.
And yeah. It doesn't surprise me that he can sing because I think also, you know, speaking of the other Spock, Zachary Quinto could sing. Yep. And Leonard Nimoy,
Leonard Nimoy released an album. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Spock sings.
Bilbo Baggins.
Yes. Bilbo Baggins. Oh, God.
Middle of the earth in the land of Shire lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire. With his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes, he lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall.
So, and then of course I watched the series finale, but the season finale, which of course is a cliffhanger.
Yes, and I hear a really good character joins the crew.
Yes, a very good character. No spoilers, but a very good. I'm guessing the very first episode of the next season will have some
whenever it finally some comes
exposition
up.
with that one. So no, I think they've got season one or the next season episode one already done because they filmed them together. So they could actually release that as a teaser prior to the strike or. Before the strike's over. So,
yeah.
So one of the things that I'm looking forward to in this is to find out what happens to some of the other cast members and characters that didn't continue on to the original series.
Yeah.
So like, you know, the Navigator and the Helmsman.
Right.
Neither one of them came over to TOS. So I'm like, no, well, what's their story? Where did they go? Where did they go?
Yes.
Right. All that stuff. And we know, because it's canon, we know that this series has a definitive ending.
Right. Right. I mean, they've already brought Kirk on. And, right. And yep. They've already brought James Kirk on.
Mm-hmm.
The actor they picked is really good. I actually like him better than Chris Pine, which was kind of rough for me at first. But then I noticed, like, he is much closer to Shatner's version of Kirk, and I like that Chris Pine is his own version of Kirk, and like I like his version of Kirk, but I kind of like I like the new Kirk more.
I thought it was kind of funny because Alex, my husband, and I were sitting there watching it last night, and I looked over and I said, you know, James Kirk isn't part of this crew. But he's been on this ship more than he's been on his own ship. Why does he keep coming over to this ship? I don't understand.
He's got a lot of PTO and he needs to take it, use it or lose it. You know,
I guess
that's probably what it is.
It's got to be. Yeah. So since Taban isn't here, let's try a comedy sketch, a classic comedy sketch.
Okay.
This is from one of my favorite comedy troupes, Monty Python. And this, for those of you that are waiting with bated breath, this is the argument sketch.
Okay.
Hello, I'd like to have an argument, please.
Certainly, sir. Have you been here before?
No, I haven't. This is my first time.
I see. Well, do you have just one argument, or are you thinking of taking a series?
Well, what is the cost?
Well, it's $5 for 5-minute argument, but only $20 for a course of 10 half-hour arguments.
Well, I think it would be best if perhaps I just started off with one and then see how it goes.
Fine. We'll see who's free at the moment. Mr. DeBakey's free, but he's a little bit conciliatory. Yes. Try Rain in room 12.
What do you want?
Well, I was told outside that... I was told outside to come in and see you.
Don't give me that, you snotty-faced heap of parrot droppings.
What?
You festering gob, you really make me puke. You vacuous coffee nose malodorous pervert.
Wait a minute. I came here for an argument. I'm not just going to stand here and take this.
Oh, I'm sorry, but this is abuse.
Oh, I see. Well, that explains it.
Ah, yes. You want room 12A, just along the corridor.
Oh, thank you very much. Sorry.
Not at all.
Thank you.
Stupid git.
Come in.
Is this the right room for an argument?
I told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When?
Just now.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You didn't.
I'm telling you, I did.
You did not.
I'm sorry. Just one moment. Is this a 5-minute argument or the full half hour?
Oh, just the 5 minutes.
Ah, thank you. Anyway, I did.
You most certainly did not.
Look, let's get this thing clear. I quite definitely told you.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You didn't.
Did.
Oh, look, this isn't an argument.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. This is just contradiction.
No, it isn't.
It is.
It is not.
Look, you just contradicted me.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did.
Nonsense.
You did just then. This is futile.
No, it isn't.
Look, I came here for a good argument.
No, you didn't. No, you came here for an argument.
An argument isn't just contradiction.
It can be.
No, it can't. An argument is a connected series of statements intended to establish a proposition.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It's not just contradiction.
Look, if I argue with you, I must make it a contrary position.
Yes, but that's not just saying no, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. An argument is an intellectual process. Contradiction is just the automatic gainsaying of any statement the other person makes.
No, it isn't.
It is.
Not at all.
Now, look.
Good morning.
What?
That's it. Good morning.
It was just getting interesting.
Sorry, the 5 minutes is up.
That was never 5 minutes.
I am afraid it was.
It wasn't.
I'm sorry, but I'm not allowed to argue anymore.
What?
If you want me to go on arguing, you'll have to pay another 5 minutes.
Yes, but that was never 5 minutes just now. Oh, come on. Look, this is ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but I'm not allowed to argue unless you paid.
Oh, okay, fine. There.
Thank you.
Well?
Well, what?
That wasn't really just 5 minutes just now.
I told you I'm not allowed to argue unless you paid.
I just paid.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Look, I don't want to argue about that.
Well, you didn't pay.
Aha! If I didn't pay, why are you arguing? I've got you.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. If you're arguing, I must have paid.
Not necessarily. I could be arguing in my spare time.
Oh, I've had enough of this.
No, you haven't.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one.
That's a good one. Yep. Yep. Go back and forth. Back and forth. That's almost as good as Penguin on the Telly. But,
yes. That's why I kind of got a little lost in there, because it was the same argument.
It's the same argument over and over and over again. Yes, 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 yes. Well, we have a number of events coming up in September.
Ooh.
So I think I will just start rambling on. Next weekend, September 1st through the 3rd, is the Tales and Tornadoes FurCon in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
That same weekend, the 2nd through the 4th, so a day after and a day after, is the... Oh, I'm sorry. The first one,
no,
Tales and Tornadoes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Is the Marriott Tulsa Hotel Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Then the Meffitt Fur Meet on September 2nd through the 4th at the Whispering Woods Hotel and Conference Center in Olive Branch, Missouri.
You have to say it, Whispering Woods. Whispering Woods. There we go. For all our ASMR folks out there.
Then we have the 3rd through the 7th of September, Euroference in Hamburg, Germany. Mm-hmm. Furry Migration happens the 8th through the 10th in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That same weekend, if you're in Ocean Shores, Washington, which I think we were close to on our trip at some point.
I believe we were, yeah.
Yeah, I think we were. That's Furvana 2023.
Nice.
Also, the 8th through the 10th, there's two more cons coming on. One in northern Michigan, which is the Northern Michigan Fur Camp, don't you know? And that's in Free Soil.
Hoop-de-hoo.
Free Soil, Michigan. I guess you don't have to pay for your soil there. And then in Australia is the West Aussie Fur Frenzy at the Esplanade Hotel in Fremantle, West Australia. The 14th through the 17th, there are several cons going on. You have FursonaCon in Virginia Beach, Virginia. You have Forever West in Laramie, Wyoming. And we have Megaplex 2023 in Orlando, Florida. And that is an adults-only con, by the way, because it's Florida.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Ron. Yep. The 21st through the 24th of September in Kristiansand, Norway. It's the first Norwegian town that didn't have umlauts on it.
Yeah, and, that one's actually easy to pronounce.
Right, Kristiansand. Okay, there you go. That's for Navia. For the Navia, not for the Armia.
For the Navia. You know why they put barcodes on their ships, right?
Why is that?
So they can Scandinavian.
Going back to our discussion before about Bill Shatner, you know, he tried to start a female lingerie line long ago.
Oh, yeah, really?
It didn't catch on because nobody wanted Shatner panties.
Ooh, I wouldn't think they would.
Nope. Let's see. The September 23rd is a one-day con in the Philippines called Philly Fur, not to be confused with Philadelphia Fur, which is a totally different con. If you go to the Philippines looking for that or go to Philadelphia looking for this, you're not going to find either one of them in either place. Now, September 28th through October 1st, we have three cons going on. Two out of country and one in North Carolina. The first one, these are the little umlaut thingies. This is Finland at the Kukushteli. Kukushteli. Kukushteli.
Kukushteli. That's a hard word to pronounce. It's a hard word to even look at.
Yes, that is...
makes my eyes hurt.
Finfur Animus, and that's in Vaski, Finland, and that's Vaski with two A's, both of which have the umlauts over them, the two little dots. Oh, boy.
Vaski,
two long A's. And then Fur Dance Budapest is September 29th through the October 1st in Budapest, Hungary, and that's at the Kalkoni Kulturalis Kispont. So there you go. I should learn how to speak Hungarian since it's my heritage. And then, as I mentioned before, it's September 29th through October 1st is the Furry Takeover 2023 in Fontana Dam, North Carolina. I'm Fontana that damn. Those are the upcoming events for September.
Well, that's very nice.
It is very nice. And we didn't have any furries in the news. So,
yeah,
because there's not been. Well, one thing has been happening in the news, but we're not going to talk about it. Everybody knows what that is, what it was. It took place on a beach, and that's all we're going to say.
Yes. So I did not see that coming.
Aha. Yes. No. Well, I don't think the person that got hit saw it coming either.
He should have.
It was very well telegraphed. Anyway, okay. Do you have any jokes that you'd like to tell?
I do.
Okay.
Do you know where bad rainbows go?
Where do bad rainbows go?
Prism. Gives them time to reflect.
Oh. You know, a friend of mine is a golfer, and I went with him the other day, and he drove the ball into the rough, flushing out a quail. And I told him, I says, hey, that's the first time I've ever seen a partridge on a par three. I had to run away from him before he hit me with his clubs.
So I've deleted phone numbers of all the Germans I know from my mobile phone. Now it's Hans Free.
Yes. So a tough old cowboy once counseled his grandson that if he wanted to live a long life, the secret was to sprinkle a little gunpowder on his oatmeal every morning. Ooh. Well, the grandson did this religiously, and he lived to the ripe old age of 93. And when he died, he left 14 children, 28 grandchildren, 35 great-grandchildren, and a 15-foot hole in the wall of the crematorium.
So, how do you fix a broken pizza?
I don't know. How do you fix a broken pizza?
With tomato paste.
And I have one more. An elephant and a crocodile were swimming in the Amazon. That's the area, not the business.
Not the Amazon, not the warehouse Bezos down the road.
Yeah, okay. When the elephant spots a turtle sunning itself on the rock, the elephant walks over to the turtle, picks him up with his trunk, and hurls him far into the jungle. crocodile looks at him and says, "Why did you do that?" The elephant answers, "Well, that turtle was the one that bit me almost 50 years ago." The crocodile says, "Wow, that's amazing. You remembered him after all these years? Boy, you sure do have a good memory." "Yep," says the elephant, "I have turtle recall."
Oh.
That's almost a Tabin joke. That's almost. A Tabin joke. Yes.
So Ghost walks into the bar and asks for a glass of vodka, but the bartender says, "Sorry, we don't serve spirits."
Oh.
Yada-ba-da-ba-da-ba. What's ET short for?
The extra testicle? No.
No, because he's got little legs.
Oh. Wow, that's a total play on word. I like that.
I don't know if I can tell this one on the pod.
Sure you can.
Okay, so
I said the word testicles.
Oh yeah. So my penis was in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Ooh.
Until the librarian told me to take it out.
All right, I think we've taken up our listeners enough time.
Yeah, probably.
I hope our listeners stuck around even after they discovered that Tabin wasn't here and we had a nice conversation about Star Trek and movies and things like that. We love you all for tuning in. Remember, you can help support the show through donations at Patreon or Ko-Fi and through Merch Perch at Redbubble, Bonfire, or Fourth Wall. Nobody's bought anything except you and I. So, I guess... You know, there you go.
You're going to have to start pushing them to buy more.
Yeah. I'm going to be really upset if people just go and buy Tabin merch at his Fourth Wall and not any of the podcast merch.
Yeah. If you buy one Tabin merch, you're required to buy one Barely Furcasting merch.
Yes. There we go. It'll direct you automatically from your shopping cart.
Or maybe we can link his cart so that it automatically adds a Barely Furcasting item.
Ooh, we can do that behind the scenes. He wouldn't even know what was happening.
No.
Until they complained to him. So remember, you can also subscribe on Buzzsprout if you so desire. You don't have to, but that does help. Every little bit helps keep the lights on. And we'll keep doing the show, whether you support us or not. But you support us by listening, so we love you for that. So until next time, on behalf of myself, Rain Tabin, and all the fine folks at Injured Nerves Productions, I say Mubark Fluff and stay furry. Rain, what do you have to say?
I say Mubark Fluff and stay furry as well. Be kind to each other, and we'll see you next week.
And don't hit anybody with a megaphone.
Right, don't.
Barely Furcasting is an Injured Nerves studio production and is found on all major podcast platforms or can be heard directly at barelyfurcasting.com. The opinions expressed here are those of the hosts and their guests, and no commercial compensation was granted. The Furcast is produced, recorded, and directed by Barely Normal, aka Mike Vegan, and is edited by Barely and our associate editor Rain Raccoon. Opening and closing theme music, as well as some interstitial music, was created for Injured Nerves Productions for the use on the podcast by Reg Day with Damian Tanuki. If you would like to hear more music by Reg Day, you can search for Tweezerbeak on Bandcamp or Hoop Loop Tunes on SoundCloud. Other interstitial and background music by Shane Ivers through SilvermanSound.com, Gator Tots on SoundCloud.com, and the YouTube Free Is Library. If you would like to send us a message, you can do so via email at barelyfurcasting@gmail.com. or on our Telegram chat at BFFT Chat, on Twitter, on our Facebook page, or on the BarelyFurcasting.com webpage. You can help support the show through donations at ko-fi.com/BarelyFurcasting or through Patreon at patreon.com/BarelyFurcasting. Thanks for listening. We hope you come back and listen next week.